Chapter 2. Being that Sunday is the first day of the week, I guess Sunday was a fitting day for my life to start to crash. I guess in some people's minds, Sunday is an unusual day for bad luck because it's a religious day, and people's lives should get better on a religious day, or at least remain equalized until Monday. I guess those people's lives change on a Tuesday or a Friday or something. I like to think of it as starting on a Sunday, and that has always made me think it had something to do with God, though I still can't say what for sure. I have my ideas. There are plenty of people out there who would probably ask, "How can you imagine God in a foul bunch of happenings, you pig?" I wouldn't like to answer that, except to say that I don't imagine he was up there asleep. I ended up in the front pew at church. Me and my best friend, Alex Arrington. It was a small church, but most of the people in Steepleton went there and made their kids go there. We'd each had the standard argument with our parents, that while we had nothing against God, we didn't learn anything because church was too boring, and they should not be forcing us to go now that we were juniors. I don't know how Alex's parents combated him, but my dad said he stood by his answer from when I had argued, "Now that I'm a sophomore," and "Now that I'm a freshman." I don't remember those arguments, but arguing with our families about any religious matter always seemed kind of purposeless. Around Steepleton, people could quote scripture, and what do you say back to that? "So who says the Bible is true?" I wouldn't even push it that far, but I would think, if the Bible is so magical that people around here quote it all the time, how come it can't perform the magic that would keep church from being boring? Whatever. We always waited until the last minute to go in. And since nobody likes to sit up front in a church, if you came in last, you were stuck in the front pew. I looked down the row past Alex to Ryan Bowen and the Kyle twins, Eddie and Pat. Sitting still for an hour was pretty much an endurance test for those three, probably more so than football practice. They're too crazy to sit still, and I don't think they know how to use their thoughts for entertainment value. I don't think those three ever had a thought that went much deeper than, "What's to eat?" Reverend Harmon started with the morning announcements, but my brain was already hooked into the stained glass window beyond Pat Kyle's head. The stained glass had been there as long as I could remember, but recently it had started bugging me. I had heard somewhere not long ago that Christ was crucified naked, but in this stained glass and in every other crucifixion picture I had ever seen, Christ was wearing this little cloth, like a loincloth. It was as if the story had been added to, so as not to disgust people too much. I just got to thinking about that. I don't know why. I wondered if it was a good thing to change a story because the truth was too disgusting. I even asked Reverend Harmon when he came over one night to visit my dad. He said that the truth was less important in this case than the impact the truth would have on people. I remember it gave me a twitch when he said that. I'm not sure why. I mean, it was bad enough to see Jesus hanging there without him being naked. But it struck me that the church is always saying you shouldn't lie, and here was one. Pastor Harmon makes dumb puns all the time, and he said to me, "Tori, it's not a lie. It's a cover-up."